let me say some things this evening here that might be of some help to your heart. I like to speak to a man's heart. I like to speak out of my heart to men's heart. That's where it really helps a man speak to his heart. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Familiar verses that we've heard since our childhood. Chapter 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now the verses that we've read here, 1, 2, and 3, are rich in precious truth. And certainly I'll only be able to just touch on the fringe area of this blessed truth. I know some of you probably by heart experience know more about it than I do. But I do know this, that for the last 19 centuries, these verses that I read to you have been very dear to the believing people of the Lord Jesus Christ in every part of the world. Many are the sick rooms which have been lightened by these verses. Many are the dying hearts which have been cheered by these three verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Well, there's two things that I want to call your attention to that's found in these three passages. Number one is this. We find here a precious remedy against an old disease. Now, the disease is trouble of the heart. That's an old disease. And the remedy for the disease is faith. Now, heart trouble is the commonest thing in the world. Heart trouble. No rank or class or condition is exempt from this disease. No door, no lock, no bolt can keep this disease out. Man that is born of woman is full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. Now, the causes of this heart trouble. Partly it comes from inward causes and partly it comes from outward causes. Partly from the body and partly from the mind. Partly from what we love and partly from what we fear. The journey of this life is full of trouble. You know that, don't you? Even the holiest of all the saints experienced trouble in this life. The Apostle Paul, that great man of God, the author of the biggest part of the New Testament, was a man that was acquainted with trouble. Our Lord Jesus Christ, it was said about him that he was acquainted with grief. He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief and acquainted with trouble. No man is exempt from it. Job, that holy man that our Heavenly Father said this about him when the devil came seeking whom he might devour. Our Lord God said that He was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil or hated evil. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. The Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it, seeking who he might devour." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered, hast thou set thy heart on my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and hateth evil." What I'm telling you here this evening is that this heart trouble is not confined to spatial people, but people of all ranks, meek people, people of little faith, people of strong faith, people in every circumstance and every condition is subject to heart trouble. Everybody has heart trouble. And I said the holiest of all the people of God subject to heart trouble, the disease of heart trouble. Paul had it. Job had it. Said, "There's none like this man on the face of the earth. He's an upright man. He's one that fears God." Ah, you know the story. Destroyed everything that he had in just seemed like hours. Took all of his children. Wouldn't that be a terrible blow for someone to knock on your door and say, "Well, your children was having a anniversary party over there. There's seven of them that's all gathered in, that's having a big time. You had four daughters and three sons, and they were having a good time, fellowship. Every one of them's dead. Every one of them's dead." Then someone else come in and said, "Well, listen, you lost everything that you got. You haven't got any fortune anymore. You lost everything. And your wife rose up against you and said, 'Why don't you curse God and die?'" Old Job rose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down and worshiped God. And he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Well, I said this journey of life is full of trouble. And even the holiest of all the saints find the world a veil of tears. They find trouble and trial. Now, that's the disease, heart trouble. Outwardly or inwardly may be the causes of all this. Regardless of the cause, we all have it. And there's no need for me to get involved in what are the causes. We're all human, and we're all subject to trials and temptations. We're all subject to fall, and we're all frail. This flesh is frail. We all have families, and we all have passions, and we all have appetites and desires, and we all wind up sooner or later with difficulties and troubles, and it's a disease, and none of us are exempt from it. But faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the only sure medicine for a troubled heart. That's what our Lord's saying here. These fellows was troubled. There's trouble. There's gathered around a little table here, and our Lord announced to them that he is going to depart from their midst. "I'm going to leave you." He'd been with them for 3 years, and boy, they was not only indebted to him, but they loved him. They loved him. They loved the Lord Jesus. I remember old Thomas when they said, "Well, I have to go to Jerusalem, and they're going to kill me." And Thomas said, "Let's go and die with him." They loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, faith in the Lord Jesus is the only sure medicine for troubled hearts. And he says here, in essence, that when a man's in trouble, regardless of what kind of trouble it is, when their hearts are heavy. He said that the medicine for that troubled heart was to believe in Him. Now these fellows had already believed in the Lord Jesus. They'd already believed. But what He was telling them, He was one more time pressing home this truth. Believe. Believe more. Believe greater. Believe stronger. Believe in Me. Believe in... Trust in Me. Trust in Me. Remember I told you here the other day, we were talking about that passage of Scripture there in the book of 1 Peter where it says, casting all your cares upon Me, or casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. And I wondered why we're not able to cast our cares upon Him. Because He actually, literally cares for us. He cares for us. We sang that hymn that Pat led us in here a little bit. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, He will help, He'll deliver. I cannot bear these burdens alone. And that's right. That's the truth. Why is it that we cannot believe and we cannot trust in our Lord Jesus Christ? Let not your hearts be troubled, He told these poor 11 or 12 disciples here. Just this little group of misfits, this little struggling group. He said, don't let your heart be troubled in this matter. Believe. You believe in God? He said, believe in Me. Believe in Me. Trust in Me. Trust in Me. Listen, He goes on and He says, in My Father's house are many mansions. Why, He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. That is, if there were not many mansions in My Father's house, He said, I would have told you about it. There are many mansions in My Father's house. I'm telling you about it. Don't let your heart be troubled because I'm leaving you. It'll only be for a short time. I'm going home. I'm going home. Our Lord Jesus Christ was away from home. He was a stranger in a world that hated Him and a world that was about to crucify Him. A world that despised Him. And He said, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going home. Going to be with My Father. Ah, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the only sure medicine for a troubled heart. Don't trust in the arm of flesh, it'll fail you. Let me read something to you here in the book of Isaiah. Is it Isaiah chapter 26? I believe it is, verse number 3. Listen to this. Verse 3, Isaiah 26. Thou wilt... That's the shalls and the wills. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee because he trusteth in Thee. That's what our Lord's telling these fellas. Trust Me. Believe in Me. Lean on Me completely. Believe Me more thoroughly. Trust Me entirely. Lay hold on Me more firmly. Lean back more completely on Me. Trust Me. You see, the sure medicine for a troubled heart is to lean on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus, trusting in Him. That's the medicine. Now I said no doubt this little group had believed already. They'd believed already. This one, he wasn't talking to a bunch of alienated, hard-hearted rebels against God. He was talking to those that loved Him. He's talking to a group of people that had forsaken everything and followed Him. They had left their wives for the most part and their children, their homes and their jobs. They'd left their reputation. They'd put everything on the line and was following the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed, but yet The answer to their troubled heart was this plain and simple admonition. Trust in me. Believe in me. Lean backward completely into my arms and trust me. And it's not some magic formula, not some step process, not some question and answer thing, but simply trust from your heart that I know what I'm doing and it'll work out the best for you. I know what I'm doing. See? He presses them with this lesson. Believe. Trust. Well, let's remember as we think about this that there is in our experience in the family. This is the family of God. The household of God. The family of God. In the family of God there are degrees of faith. There is a wide difference between weak and strong faith. Now the weakest of faith is strong enough to give a man a saving interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it ought not to be despised either. But it will not give a man such inward comfort as strong faith. Vagueness and dimness of perception are the defects of a weak believer. He does not see clearly what he believes, nor does he know why he believes. All he knows is he believes. And we're not to despise that kind of faith. But that kind of faith will not bring comfort when the heart is troubled. When the heart is troubled, and the heart will be troubled. The heart will be troubled. Rest assured, the heart will be troubled. Every man is going to experience some heart trouble from this disease, inwardly or outwardly. And when he does, the only sure medicine for this troubled heart is the balm of Gilead. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in him. Well, listen, the second thing then in this passage is this. It's a expression of truth which declares a very comfortable account of the future abode of those that trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says now. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm not going to tell you no lie. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go. I'm going to leave by the way of the cross. I'm going to pay what's your due. I'm going there to Calvary and Golgotha, and I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to pay your debt. I'm going to pay everything that you owe, and I'm going to clothe you with my righteousness. I'm going to make you accepted, and you become a member of my Father's house. And I'll not only be your Savior, but I'll be your Lord and your King, and I'll be your elder brother, and I'll be your friend, and you'll become a member of this family. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to go by way of the cross. And he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, what a comfortable account of the future abode of the people that trust in God. The people that trust in the Lord Jesus, that have a saving interest in the Christ of God. Their abode in the future is to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how little we understand about heaven while we're here in this body. Not much is said in the Bible about this place called heaven. Not much. some negative things, sometimes some positive things, but not very much is said, not very many plain things is said about heaven in the Bible. The Bible is kind of silent about it. There's a whole lot of things said in the Bible about hell. There's more things said in the Bible about hell than there are about heaven. And I told you this morning about that one place in the Bible that accurately described the future abode of the wicked, a place of torment, but not many places in the Bible describes the future abode of the people of God. Now here in these three verses, or these last two verses that I read to you, verses 2 and 3, are some plain things and some things that you and I can understand. We don't need some man that studied prophecy all of his life to come here tonight and explain what these two verses mean. We know what they mean. We know that he's saying here that he went by way of the cross to his Father's house to prepare a place for us. And if he goes, he'll come again and receive us where, unto himself, that where he is, we'll be. That's our future abode, we'll be with him. That's the reason that the apostles, I preached to you here the other day about, he said, to depart. He said, it's far better to depart, far better, and be with Christ. That's far better than staying here. It's far better. Listen, we have a passage here of plain things. Heaven is my Father's house. That's what heaven is. That's my Father's house. The house of that God of whom Jesus said, I go to my Father and to your Father. It is in one word. Now this will bless your heart right here. The future abode of the people of God can aptly be described, explained, defined in one word that everybody can understand. It is H-O-M-E. It's going home. That's what it is. It's going home. Don't you like to think about going home? You left home. You had a fine home. They used to say when I went to service, they had a cadence to keep you in, you know, one, two, hit, two. They used to sing, you had a good home, but you left. You had a good home, but you left. You had a good home, but you left. Right, left. You had a good home, but you left. And all of us, we can remember the time when we had a good home. We had a good home. We had a good home. We can remember the eating of the apples. We can remember of the reading of the stories. We can remember of the old radio programs. And we can remember playing Old Maid and all those games and the popcorn and the open fire. And we can remember all of those things. And we can remember the linoleum floors. And we can remember getting up and going outside to the bathroom. We remember all of these things. And pleasant memories. Going home, going home. That's what it is to go to heaven. It's to go home. It's to go home. This world is not my home, Bob. This world is not my resting place. I'm a stranger. I'm only passing through. Oh, that's what it means. It's the home of the Lord Jesus Christ and His people. Listen, home, as all of us know, is generally a place where we are generally loved for our own sake, not for our money and not for our gift. We're loved because we're a member of the family and we are welcome home. Welcome home. Glad to see you. Glad to see you. And mother cries and father all chokes up and embraces you and shakes hands and lays kisses on your cheeks because they're glad to see you. You went home. God bless you tonight. The future state and the future abode of every soul that trusts in Jesus is home with God. That's what it is. H-O-M-E. I'm gone home. Whenever you meet a Christian, whenever you meet a man that's trusting in the Lord Jesus, you meet a man that's going home. He's gone home. He may be going this way or that way, but I'll tell you where he's going. He's going home. He's going home. That's what it means. The believer, right now, as I said, he's in a strange land. In the life to come, he'll be at home. He'll be at home. Be with his friends. He'll be with his elder brother. He'll be with his Savior. He'll be with his Lord. And he'll be like his Lord. And there'll be perfect peace and perfect enjoyment and perfect happiness. And there'll be no trials. And there'll be no troubles. And there'll be no tears. And there'll be no heart disease. We'll be with him. Forever! With the Lord. Huh? Going home. That's what it means, Daryl. It means going home. Where are you going? Going home. What are you looking for, Abraham? Abraham was standing out there looking like... He said, what are you looking for, Abraham? He said, looking for a city. What kind of a city, Abraham? There's plenty of cities around here. He said, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm going home. That's what Abraham was talking about. He said, I'm a stranger in this world. And he said, I'm going home. Going home. Going home. They'll be at home. And I thought about this evening. I said, man, when he goes home, he'll be comfortable there. That's good, isn't it? He'll be comfortable there. He'll be comfortable. He'll not be a stranger. You know, sometimes I go away and be at these places and preach and stay with different people and eat with them. And though we're brethren in the Lord, yet there is a sense. There is a sense of strangeness. Strangeness about the home. Although all of these dear blessed people that have taken me in, been so kind and so good, said, make this your home. Do in your home, in this home, what you do at your home. Why don't you tell us anything that we can do to make you comfortable? And they do, just bend over backwards. But when it's all said and done, it's not home. It's not home, and I'm not comfortable until I get in my car and drive maybe hundreds and hundreds of miles and turn in down that direction and come into my house. And there's my home, and I'm comfortable. You know what I'm talking about? They'll be comfortable there. Going home. That's what our Lord's talking about. Going home in my Father's house. My Father's house, it's my home. It's your home. Going home. It's a lasting and permanent and eternal dwelling place. At home we shall be settled at last. At last. I'm home. I'm home. It's like the fella that struggled coming in from the Midwest. He came, didn't have a penny in his pocket. He came dying mother at home, and his father got a hold of him and said, come home, son, your mother's dying. Come home. And he came down through the Midwest. And he got a ride here and a ride there. And fella helped him out with a little money, and he rode the bus a little way, and he walked a little ways, and finally, after a lot of toil and a lot of hardship, he got there and he seen the light of home. And he said, at last. At last! He said, I'm forever settled and I'm home. I'm home. Home at last. Oh, a house. Let me read something to you here from the book of Micah. Micah chapter 1, I guess it's chapter 2 of the book of Micah. Listen to what it says. There's a lot of trouble here in Israel at this time. I said the people the people here said they're against God. And he said the priests and the preachers and the prophets, he said they're deceiving the people and everything. I said there's lots of trouble here. False doctrine, false worship, idolatry and all that. And then he comes over in this second chapter in the 10th verse, and this is what Micah says. Micah says, "Arise, ye, and depart, for this is not your rest." This is not your rest. This is not your home. You can only be at rest in your home. For this is not your rest, because it's polluted. This world is polluted, and it'll destroy you. There's a lot of trouble here in Israel at this time. I said the people here said they're against God. And he said the priests and the preachers and the prophets, he said they're deceiving the people and everything. I said there's lots of trouble here. False doctrine, false worship, idolatry and all that. And then he comes over in this second chapter in the 10th verse, and this is what Micah says. Micah says, "Arise, ye, and depart, for this is not your rest." This is not your rest. This is not your home. You can only be at rest in your home. For this is not your rest, because it's polluted. This world is polluted, and it'll destroy you even with a sore destruction. Arise. Arise and depart, for this is not your rest. You can find no place to rest your weary feet in this life. Not for long. No, sir. Well, listen. Turn with me again, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Let me read a passage here. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14. Listen to what it says. It says, "For here have we no continuing city." Now notice now, if you don't get this, you know it'll run right by you and you'll never be able to get the blessing out of it. Now it does not say there is no continuing city. But it does say here, right here in this world, have we no or have we none? We don't have any here. But there is a continuing city whose builder and maker is God. That's our home. That's our home. That's what our Lord tells these troubled disciples. You got heart trouble? You believe in God the Father? Believe also in me, in my Father's house. My Father and your Father. I go to my Father and your Father. And in my Father's house, there's many permanent mansions. Here you live in a temporary shack, shanty, tent, tabernacle. But in my Father's home, in my Father's house, there's permanency there. And you're forever settled there. And we're at home there. All of us are home. We're like-minded there. We desire the same thing. Don't let your heart be troubled. Said here there's no continuance. For here have we no continuing city. But we seek one to come. Our home. Our eternal home. Well, John Bunyan, one time they asked him a question about heaven, and he couldn't answer the question. And that was unusual for John Bunyan because he was a Bible student. But he couldn't answer the question. They asked him a question about heaven, and John Bunyan couldn't answer it. He said, "Well, the reason why I can't answer it," he said, "because the matter that's involved in the question that you're answering is not revealed in the Scriptures. Therefore, I can't answer it." They ask him a question about heaven. So, he advised the person that asked the question, he said, "Why don't you live a holy life and go and see?" I like that. He said, "Well, why don't you just live a holy life and go and see?" Well, I told you that heaven begins where sin ends. And I told you that a fellow by the name of William Gurnall said this about heaven. He said, "We are all like children, strayed from home. And God is now fetching us home, and we are ready to turn into any house to stay and to play, and to sit down on every green bank, and much ado there is to get us home. But God will finally get us home. You got heart trouble? Got heart trouble? The remedy for the disease is just to flat out lay back and believe thoroughly and completely more and more in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer. There's no secret formula to it. Believe. That's what he said. He said, believe. If you believe in God, believe also in me. The Lord bless you. May that be of a help to your troubled heart. I know it is to mine, to realize that we're going home. Going home to be with my Father. Going home. Going home. I know all of you can appreciate that. Going home. Where are you going? I'm going home. Where are you going, friend? Well, I'm going home. I'm going home. Well, where are you going? Well, I'm going home. My Father's house. I'm welcome there. You remember the story of the prodigal? He strayed and left his father's house. Spent all that he had in riotous living, didn't he? Spent everything that he had. Didn't have anything else. Was broke. Have anything to eat. Would fain eat with the swine, the husk that they fed to the swine. No man cared for his soul. No man gave to him. Why, he said, my soul, he said, I've left better than what I've got here. I haven't got anything. He said, I'll arise. There was a determination in his heart. He said, I'll arise. And this is what I'll do. I'll go to my Father's house. And he'll say, and I'll say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. That's what I'll do. And he rose. And the Bible says, as he was a long ways off, the Father was out there in the yard or the porch, and he's looking down the road. And he's seen that poor, struggling, wayward boy, tattered and torn. And here he come with his head down. And the Father, at the Father's house, he went down to him and didn't scold him. He didn't say, you rascal, you. I told you. I told you. He's so glad to see him. Oh, my soul. If you know anything about a father's heart, the mother's heart, and you see that long lost son coming home, you ain't going to scold him. You ain't going to say, well, I told you, son. Oh, no. The Father opened his arms and embraced that poor wayward child. All of his rags and tattered and torn. Filthy. And kissed him. And kissed him and kissed him and kissed him and smothered him with kisses. Someone said something and he said, this was my son, who was lost, but now he's found. My Father's house is going home. You going home? There's room for all of the weak, the weakest of God's children. There's room for them there. There's room for the weakest and the strongest. The door will never be shut from the man who trusts in the Lord Jesus. Never be shut. Oh no. The door will be shut upon rebels. Upon rebels who will not bow, who will not bend, who will not fall before him and acknowledge their ungodliness and receive him as their Lord. The door will be shut for them. But to all others, it'll be welcome. Welcome. Welcome, sister. Welcome, brother. Where to? My Father's house. God bless you. Let's stand, we'll be dismissed.